The following recording has a number of different options available to you. The first is the recording of the current Daf Yomi 13th cycle, and it's done rather rapidly without great detail. That's followed by a very fast review that enables you to go over the Daf in about 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by a recording of the Daf Yomi from the previous cycle, done at greater length, more detail, and also with a different ambience, a different audience. You can use one for your original learning and one for your review, but whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Shabbat is Daf Kuf Chav Gimel. We're holding in our new perek of Kol HaKelim, discussing the Dinim of Muksa. We are on Kuf Chav Beit, Amud Beit, and we're 8 lines up from the bottom. And we're going into now the discussion in the Mishnah. We finished the first part of the Mishnah, which discussed the difference between Shivrei Kelim and Dlatot HaKelim that have come off, and the difference between the Rashat of Shema Yitka, which has a tremendous amount of application today, even if you hold Ein Binyan B'Kelim, there's many places where we're goes there because of Shema Yitka. And we move on to the list of various Kelim, of examples that the Mishnah gives, of things that you would assume, or usually you would have thought you can't use that on Shabbat, and here it turns out you can. So the first example was, you can take a hammer and use it to crack open a nut. And as we mentioned yesterday, there's a machloket as to whether that means, machloket achronim actually, as to whether that means because the hammer that you want to use is a better solution. But if it's not a better solution, it's a lazy solution, maybe you're not allowed to be nutrient for that purpose. Well, it's most achronim don't hold that we should make that distinction. If you want to use a hammer to break open a walnut, that's fine. Says Rav Yehuda, now wait a minute. I mean, when we're talking about a hammer, I mean, it couldn't mean a carpenter's hammer, because he was of the opinion, at least at this point, that a kli shemalach kli yisir is not nitil at all, even the tzor gufo, which means for its own use. And therefore, kurna shela gozim is what it's referring to. It's referring to a hammer made for nuts can be used, the fatzea boate gozim. Aval shel napachim lo, you wouldn't be able to use a smithy's hammer, would you? Well, obviously, kasabar, Rabbi Yehuda must hold, therefore, that the dover shemalach kli yisir, afilo the tzor gufo would be osir. Because that's essentially what he's saying. If you can only use a hammer which is malach talayeter, meaning that its essential usage is for cracking open nuts. Omer le Rabba, and according to you, how do you explain? Look, I understand that you might take all of the cases in the Mishnah and pretend that they're dealing with not what they seem to be, but rather with smaller versions of these tools. But how the heck are you going to explain the case at the end of the Mishnah where it says, harachat en amalgez letet alav lekatan? Where a rachat is, you don't use a rachat. A rachat is basically a flat piece that is used for putting grains on in order to do threshing. What is that supposed to mean? You made a mini rachat for a cotton? I mean, there's no such thing. So how are you going to explain that? Mimiyakti lelekatan. Yalomarabba means exactly what it seems to be saying. We're talking about a bunch of kelim which you would have thought, oh my gosh, can't use that on Shabbos. The cornice is referred to a smithy's hammer, and you can use it lefatzea bo egozim. Crack nuts with it, because that's the point of the Mishnah. Kasavar davar shemalach tole isur is allowed to be used letzora gufo, and that is not included in the isur of muktzah. It's mutter. Eitvei abaya l'rabba. And what do you do with the halacha of a minducha? So a minducha is used, obviously, as a kli shemalach tole isur. It's used for crushing. This is a garlic press. So it's used, not the little single that we have, which is a one-hand garlic press. It's not a big, heavy meducha, where you put in a bunch of garlics to create crushed garlic.
Is meducha the moderate vessel?
Yeah. Yes, you fill it up with garlic, and then you crush the garlic. So this meducha, I mean, you could even sit on it. But if it has garlic, and only if it has garlic in it, then metatalimota. There's no garlic in it. You want to sit on it, since it's a kli shemalach tole isur, which is for shechika. In other words, tochein. That's a tolda of tochein. So you wouldn't be allowed to move it. Why not? If I want to use it to sit on, why can't I move it? Why only because there's garlic in it? Now, why if there is garlic in it, by the way, can you move it? Rashi says a very strange comment, and he says you can carry it agav hashum. Now, that lotion of agav is something that we did find the heter called agav, but that was the case of the mate. Remember, we were talking about what do we do with the body with Shlomo and David? So put a kikar or a tinok, and you can be metatal agav, something else. That was a special heter, Tainol and Rishonim on Rashi. What are you talking about, agav? That was a special heter that was set for a mate. So from here comes a yesod, that some of the Rishonim are machalik, that agav is said only for a mate, where it's not a kli. That's not, Meit is not a Kli Shemach Eliezer. A Meit is the original Mukta. This is way before the Takanat Kelim at the time of Nehemiah that we spoke about yesterday, we'll speak about later today. That was something that was a given even at the time of David and Shlomo. That has nothing to do with Kelim. We're talking about something that's a Kli. What Rashi is saying that is that the Gemara is telling us that the Din of Agav for a Kli Shemalach Eliezer would be said even if you hold a Kli Shemalach Eliezer is Osir Litzarach Gufa. But Agav would be Mutter. Now others learn, not like Rashi, that this is not a case of Tiltol Agav, but rather, that brilliant answer of the Rashi, a very creative answer, that since the Isser is because of the garlic, it can't possibly be more usser than the garlic, and therefore, Bedafka's garlic, if it's in it, this becomes a Klisha Malach, so at this point, loses its Malach to the Isser because it's holding whole garlics. So what's Nafkamina if you're going to crush the garlic in it? But that's its whole function, is as a garlic Kli. So Mamela, at this, it loses its shame. Kli Shemalach Eliezer here. Okay. In any event, this is a wide open circuit. We're not yet sophisticated enough at Dinim Mukta to deal with it. Yes?
Is that Indian that a Kli, if you have something Mutter, that the Kli goes?
No. That's a Basis, not a Kli.
Basis.
Yeah, we're not talking about Basis here. Okay, so again, if it has it, you can use it. If it doesn't have the garlic, you can't use it, which says very clearly to me, says Abaye to Rabbah, that you are wrong about the Mishnah, because obviously the Mishnah is not being matir, a Kli Shemalach Eliezer Litzar Gufa. Amarle, says Rabbah to Abaye, absolutely not. This happens to be a special case, which is going on Libet Rabbi Nehemiah. Now, Rabbi Nehemiah holds that all Kalim, even after the various Heterim that were given, that we're going to trace later on today and tomorrow, from the time of the Gezer of Nehemiah, even today, you are not allowed to move anything. Even a Kli that is completely mutter to move. You can't move it stam. You can only move it for its main purpose. And he holds ein Kli nital, ela letzarech tashmisho. Even a Kli shemalach tala heter can't be used for something other than its main purpose. And therefore, yes, according to him, you'd have to come on to a heter of agav. But certainly that's not halacha. The Mishnah was not following Rabbi Nehemiah. The Mishnah was telling us a normal Shita, that is our normative Shita, which is that a Kli Shemalach Eliezer is in fact Mutter, either Letzerech Gufay, and we'll see that Letzerech Mikmumo is also Mutter, where I need to move it in order to be able to have access to the place where it is currently. Eighth. Now, despite the fact we have a Machloket over there, Beit Shammai Amrin, let's read it just because it makes it clear, the context makes it clear, even if it isn't really necessary anymore. Ein Notlina Ta'ali, Lekatzev Alav Basar, Ubeit Hillel Matiri. Now over here, the machloket is not Lagavi Shabbat. We're talking about on Yontav, where it's mutter to cook and so on and so forth. So if you need for your Simchat Yom Tov, you don't have a good place to butcher the meat, and you need a place where you can cut it on hard surface, you can take an ali. Now an ali is that piece of wood that is usually used for tisha, and you would usually use it for banging. And over here, you're going to make a very different usage of it. You're going to use it as a surface to be able to cut against.
Is that a butcher's block?
No. And so you see that Beit Hillel is matir, but the heter over there is only for Simchas Yontov. But Shavim, she'im katzav alav basar, they're both moded that if you did it already, that from that point on, you're not allowed to move it. Because the only heter that Beit Hillel was giving was because of Simchat Yom Tov, not because of Kli Shemalach Tali Isser, which is normally used for creating what we call the cereals. So they used to use it for cutting up pieces of wheat or rye, whatever the cereal was, into smaller pieces. Then they had the tri-cereal, the du-cereal, and the quattro-cereal, depending on how thin the wheat would be sliced. And that's what the main purpose of the Ali was, for katisha of wheat. And therefore, it would be usher to be metatala. Now, how do you explain that, according to you? You're claiming that even though it's Kli Shemalach Eliezer, you're allowed to move it if it's a tzarach makoma, whatever. And here it says, even Beit Hillel, who's matir, was only matir for Simchas Yontov. Now, Rabbi's first inclination to answer Abaye was to say the same thing he said before. It's going on, Libet Rabbi Nehemiah. You know, I mean, you're not going to catch me with a bright against the Mishnah. The Mishnah is clearly, because of the final case of the Rachat, is clearly talking about Kli Shemalach Eliezer. Therefore, these brightot must be going along like Rabbi Nachman. He didn't have any other way out. And then, before he came up with that answer, he heard, Kiman Deshama, that Reb Chinan Bar Shalmiah quoted Rav as saying that there's a new concept of mukta, where a person's mikatzea biyadayim, something that indeed is a Kli Shemalach Eliezer, but is a Kli Shemalach Eliezer that is expensive and easily ruined if misused. So because of that, everybody is moda that for professional kelim, like Siki, Zairi, and Mazuri, which according to Rashi are various professional tools of a dyer, and over there you cannot afford to have any kind of, first of all, it can't be dirty, it'll wreck the dye stuff. You don't want it to be bent out of shape because then the dye stuff won't flow evenly. So he's makpid on it. So keep it the kopid alayim. Since he's makpid on it, he's miyached lehu makom. He basically puts it aside on a shelf. He doesn't want anybody touching it. This miyached lehu makom, by the way, according to almost all of the actual poskim, does not mean literally miyached lehu makom. There's some who learn that literally means miyached. In other words, the act of mukta means setting aside. So that mekatze aloi would be through putting it away. You put it on the shelf, that's the act of mukta. We don't paskin like that. And miyached lehu makom becomes a concept, which is a model alone. It's like the idea of ner lecha, ner lemiyach type of thing. In other words, obviously, even if we're not talking about a candle, we're talking about a ramp getting off of a plane. It's the same idea. Ner lecha, ner lemiyach. Miyached lehu makom is simply using the type of thing that you would put in a safe. We use for this type of thing, and because of that, we've come to this, to give a different name for this particular quality of mukta, and we call it, instead of putting it in the safe, mukta machmat chisaron kis. Something that a person wants to set aside its usage because it's going to cost him money if you mess it up. And once he realized that there's such a thing, that kiven de kapital miyakadu makom, then Rashi learns both of the answers that I just gave you, I was going to give you, forget about it. You don't have to come on to Rebbe Nechemia. Basically, these are kelim that you don't want misused. Because of that, we're not going to allow you to use an ali for other things. And because of that, they're meida that the only heter was simchas yontif, or even the case that we had before, the meducha. You don't want to use the meducha for other things, and therefore we were only matir tilto agav the shum. Itmar Reb Chiya bar Avam, Reb Yochanan, when we're talking about over here a kurnus, even though it's a kurnus shel zahavim, and I mean that can easily get bent out of shape, you know, a kurnus shel zahavim, it has to be, kurnus shel zahavim is used to make like a gold plating, and it has to be very flat. You're not going to want to use something like that for cracking a nut. Nonetheless, we're talking about even that, even though he is makbid on that. The point of here is it is so easy to fix because the kurnus shel napachim is soft metal in order to work with gold. Because of that, all you need to do is give it one tap against an anvil and it'll flatten out again. And because of that, people are either makbid on it, but lo nora. So if you want to use that on Shabbos, that's not called mukta machmas chisaron kis. Rav Shama Mar Abba Amar, kurnus shel basanim shanin. We're even talking about a kurnus that is used for crushing a perfume maker, a basam. Now over there, I mean, we know the amount of chemical, of another chemical that gets into something that you're dealing with smell can be one part in a billion, and your nose is going to pick it up and it's going to ruin the perfume. There you would think we're very makbid. And the truth is we are, but it's so easy to wash it off carefully to make sure there's no deposit left on it, that there too. So mandi amar de besamim, a basam is the most makbid. So kol shekein zahavim you can use for other purposes. Mandi amar she zahavim, avad de besamim, basamim, your kopid alayo, because over there it's really, it needs a very good job of washing. You'd prefer it wouldn't be used for something else. Some have the opposite gear so that the zahav is more makbid. But okay, so these are extensions of the svar that Rava was talking about, that even if we're talking about napachim, obviously, what Rabbah was talking about, obviously napachim, even zahavim. V'etakush v'etakarkar, so we're talking about spearing strawberries, utilizing a karkar, which is a sharp, long cleave that we saw downstairs in the loom, or the kush, which is the spindle that women use for gathering together the spread, the thread, as they're twisting it. And you can use that to spear a strawberry. Speaking of spearing, if you have an unripe fig, and you had put that in a pile of straw. Now, this is not straw that was miyuchad for an animal, which is not mukta on Shabbos. This is straw that you had set aside either for building purposes, going to mix it with your tevin, or it was going to be used for fuel, neither of which you could use on Shabbat. And therefore, you were mekatzeyad biyadayim. And a karara. They have a. They used to have these esh tanurs, which were not tanurs, but were really esh gechalim. So they would actually cook it on the coals. Very, very tasty kind of bread. And it was inside of the coals. Now, the issue over there with the coals is not a question of muksa as much as a question of whether you might start up fire if you move it. So you might, by moving it, you allow oxygen in. But it's not a psikresha. So in the gulam b'kitzatam, so if a little bit of that fig or a little bit of the pita is exposed, then you can pull it up. And it's mutar l'taltala, because that is not considered to be tiltol, because there you're moving the bread, not moving the things that are going to move because you pull out the bread. But imlav asur l'taltala, otherwise you're coming into contact and directly, and therefore you're not allowed to be metaltalit, even using apparently a kushera karkar. Where Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi Omer, no, you would be allowed to stick in between the grain, between the straw, or between the coals, a kush or a karkar. This is the case in our Mishnah. Vehin min arot mi aleihem, and even though lemaisa, you will in the end cause movement, but you are not directly dealing with that at all. And therefore the movement over here is considered to be a something that is min hatzad. And there's a question how to learn this, whether this is the ikar question of muksa min hatzad, tiltul min hatzad, that is to say that I'm not directly coming into touch with something, it's moving agav, or this is an extension of tiltul min hatzad, because over here, when I pull out the thing, I'm not moving it at all, really. It's the space is created, and now something will fall into that space. So this is a further extension of tiltul min hatzad. But it would mean that Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi is saying that even this type, that this type of tiltul min hatzad is certainly okay. And Reb Nachman Paskin, like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi, you mean that Reb Nachman holds that tiltul min hatzad is lav shmei tiltul? But wasn't Reb Nachman the one who specifically said not like that? Remember we had the case of a radish that somebody had stuck into the ground. The top of the radish was exposed. Now the question is, did he put the radish in upside down or right side up? Meaning is the sharp side of the radish, is that facing up? Or is the broad side of the radish facing up? What's the difference? Said Reb Nachman, well, it makes all the difference in the world. If the pugla is milamala lamata, if you're going to be pulling it out from the wide end, then you're not moving anything, because basically it's going to come straight out and you're left with a hole. But that hole is not, that's not going to make the hole. So what's nafkamina where you have it? You could pull it out. But if it's the other way around, the thin end of the radish is sticking up. When you pull the radish, you're going to be moving the ground, and that's tilting the outside, and that's us. Please put yourself on mute. So over there, says the Gemara, true, that is a machloka, that is a contradiction. But Reb Nachman had charata from that. Why from that diagnosis? Because later on we're going to see we have a question for the Mishnah against Reb Nachman, which was never answered, and therefore it's mistaver to the Gemara that that was the one that he had charata from, not from his psak here, like Reb Elazar ben Tadoi. Machat shel yad. Then we said you can take a sewing needle, and you can use the sewing needle to remove a splinter on Shabbat. Sholach le Rava bre the Rabba le Reb Yosef. So Rava, this is not the Rava that we use, this is Rava bre the Rabba, where our Rava is going to get into it in a moment. But Rava bre the Rabba asks Reb Yosef, please, Rebbe, teach us. Yilabdeinu Rabbeinu, what is the din if the machat loses its hole, or its oketz breaks off? What would be the halacha? In other words, is it now shivrei kalim and you can't use it, or what? Omales, Reb Yosef sent him, what's the problem? That's the Mishnah in Shabbos that says, Tenitua, machat shel yad litolba etakot. You're allowed to use a sewing needle to take out a splinter. Now, you think the splinter cares whether it's a male needle or a female needle. Bein nikuvel, bein sheinik. As far as the splinter is concerned, all the splinter is interested in is being removed. That's all. Couldn't care less whether this is a kosher needle. Which, anyway, what do you think that means? It means that a broken needle is perfectly okay to use to take out a kutz, right? Eitvei. So he asked Reb Yosef, but Rebbe, it says beferish legabe the din of tumat kelim. It says that a machat, which is, and this is beferish Mishnah, a machat shenital charara ukta tahora, that it loses its shem kli and it's now tahor. So why would it not lose its shem kli legabe Shabbat? Omra, what the heck's wrong with you, man? Tumat Shabbat karami. What does one have to do with the other? You asked me a question from a Mishnah Kalim of the dinim of losing Tumah. You're going to ask that as far as the Isser Kalim of Muktzah on Shabbos. There's no comparison. When it comes to Tumah, the Torah is makbid on the concept of Kli Maaseh. That means that its purpose for which it was made. Remember, we're very makbid on Tumah, what your makshava was for its usage as it was being made, and so on. So that's Kli Maaseh. And this no longer is the Kli Maaseh when it comes to Shabbos. The point of Shabbos is it's usable. And your das was on it to use it. That's all. So meaning the Chasi Be'inan. Is this usable? What's it usable for? Taking out splinters. So there you have it right there in a first aid little compact. What's the difference whether it's got a big Nekuva or not Nekuva? Says Rava, not to be confused with Rava Beret, the Rava, says Rava, no, excuse me, sir. There was a very good question. Manda Kamotiv Shabbat Kamotiv is a very good question to ask from Tuma on Shabbos. Because if Midalinyan Tuma, you're telling me it loses its shame kli, in Olav Manu, so then in Yan Shabbat, Nami Lav Manu, I mean, how can you compare a case where somebody was miyakit something to take out of coats? That doesn't mean that you could use something that is not a Machat Shel Yad. If it loses its shame of Machat Shel Yad, it shouldn't be a kli l'gabi Shabbos either. You can't suddenly decide on Shabbos, oh, I like that stone to hold my door open. Why not? You're going to use it for something because it was miyuchad for not for that at the beginning of Shabbos. You can't change it. Meitvei machat bein nekuva bein she'ein nekuva mutal l'tafel b'Shabbat. I'd like to see you get out of this one, says Abaya. V'lo amra nekuva el linyan tuma bilvad. Ha 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 ha. You can't get a clearer statement that there's no connection between Tumah and Shabbos. The only time that we said that there's a difference whether it has a hole in it or not is only the gabi Tumah. Well, Abaya had a little mercy on Rava, wasn't present to give an answer, so he answered it for him. Tira Yama Abaya, Libida Rava, Begol Beaskin, there's a difference. You see, over there we're talking about the machat that has not as yet been completed. So Lagabe Tuma, remember, the Kli is defined by its ultimate purpose in your mind. If you're making sewing needles, and you've finished the first stage, in which you have now these elongated, sharp pieces of metal, now you've got to put them through a stamper that makes a little hole in them, and you haven't gotten around to do that yet. So the din is that when it comes to gomei kalim, they are not considered to be makabel tumah because this is not what you made them for. But when it comes to Shabbos, the point is that a person always has in mind, all right, I mean, you know, I haven't finished, but yeah, if I need it for something else, I certainly intend to use it. Meanwhile, it's not as if that there are huksa midati. We're over there since it's gomei kalim zimna demimlach layom ashvi leumana. If I decide I want to use it to take out a coat, so then that'll be lagabi Shabbos. That will be its money. But enochinami in a case where it was broken nital charara o uktsa, their Rava may be right. If it breaks at that point, adam zorka levein grutaot. Here is a usage of a Greek word that has become very much part of the modern Hebrew vocabulary, grutaot, which is where we throw those who fall asleep, and nafyomi, basically, into a junkyard is where we use it today. And therefore, at that point, it would not be considered to be a kli at all. Another thing, which is asubi yanuka. Now, asubi yanuka, remember that they used to believe that unless you put, not swaddling. Swaddling is called lefufa yanuka. This is an even more aggressive act of swaddling, where you go over all of its organs and straighten them out, you know, because otherwise that baby is really a mess. And if you don't get it straight, it's never going to grow up straight. Yeah, it may come up looking bow-legged or something, or be the kind of baby that'll fall asleep in Nafyomi one day. And you wouldn't want to do that. So you have to take care of it at birth. And so there, says Rav Nachman, if we're talking about Rav Nachman's Piskei Halachos here, Rav Nachman says you can't do that on Shabbos because you're being mitakein the baby. Now, even though later on we talk about lefufe is mutter, that's because, as the Rishonim explained, lefufe, to swaddle the baby, I'm not dealing directly with the parts of the baby, I'm swaddling him, and the pressure on the body allows the organs to fall into place themselves. Amram Nachman, look, I know you think it's strange that I should say this in the name of Tikkun and Makba Patish and so on a body, but I'll prove it to you that it's true. It's not. Ein osin afik tuizin b'Shabbat. You do not do. Now this was the Roman shtick, you know, where they all had their vomitorium thing, where if you eat a lot and now you can't finish dessert, you just vomit up what you eat, and now you've got plenty of room for the chocolate cake and the pie and so on. I mean, speaking of slobs. But anyway, and that's an emetic. You can't do something which is an emetic that causes you to vomit. And afik tuizin is a Greek term. But again, we always use some kind of Hebrew translation, our American translation, to excuse our use of these terms. So afik toizin would come from the word afik, get out of here, the mizonot, which is too much mizonot. So afik toizin, b'shabbat. Anyway, so you see that obviously that's not a gzera mishum refua. It must be because it's a tikkun. Rav Sheshet says, well, the afik toizin is because, I mean, what normal people does that, you know? I mean, that's that, over there, lav orche. But orcha, urche, there's a difference where if something is the norm or not the norm, and I'll prove it to you. I'm refusing, no, I mean, I'll let it down. Makacha, yadli tolba atakotz. You can take it to take out a kotz. Now, a kotz is a tikkun. It's not a refuah. There's no makom for a gezerah of shrikat samamanim. So it's obviously not mishum refuah. It must be because it's a tikkun, and you see, you're allowed to do it anyway, right? It says from Nachman, no, not right, because there's a big difference between a splinter, which is not dealing directly with your body. So you're taking out something which is stuck in. So hatam pakit, over there, the splinter is sticking into you, and you can remove it. That's not a tikkun of the body. But over here, with the baby, it's lo pakit, it's the body itself. You're straightening his organs. And that is similar to the tikkun, in which case, I'm telling that it's awesome. And now a word from our president.
Zokta Helika Mishnah.
Now, remember that part of the process of making oil was that you had to let the olives sit in the mitzain, which was a kli, that allowed them to oxidize slowly, and they would soften and start to leak oil. And at that point, you were at a certain stage, you were able to start crushing them effectively to get the oil out. Prior to that, the oil would be still immature, and it would not be a high-quality oil. So a kaneh shel zeitim was the kli that they used to poke into the zeitim and mix them so that you could get it properly oxygenated, and then it would start to heat. So kaneh shel zeitim, im yesh kesher birosho, if it has a little knot in the wood at the part, which is, we would call it its end, not its head, part that you stick into the zeitim, so then it's makabel tuma. But if not, it's not makabel tuma. But that has nothing to do with the question of whether you can be notilat on Shabbat. You certainly can be notilat on Shabbat. Because when it comes to tuma, remember, the kli eitz is compared to sak. And sak is metaltel molivarekam. It's used as a container to hold something. From there we have the psak, that any pshute kli eitz is not makabel tuma. Since this is pshute kli eitz, it's not makabel tuma. Now we're going to ask, and what's the difference if it has a kesher barosha? Why then is it makabel tuma? That we'll talk about. But in any event, when it comes to Shabbat, obviously, we couldn't care less whether it has a beit kibul or not. That's not the issue. It's not what type of kli it is. It's that it is a kli, and that's all that counts when it comes to Shabbat. We'll wonder about whether it's a kli shemalach kaliyas or kli shemalach laheter, but whatever the case may be, if you're going to use it laheter, it's okay. As we just showed, kli shemalach kaliyas is fine. But wait a minute, asked the Gemara. How does the kesher birosho change the reality of it's being a pshute kli etzu? And pshute kli etzu is namakabel tuma. Why is an abakul makabel tuma by tanya? Dumya de sak beinan. Because as we know, the Torah compares the beged, the or, and etz, and sak all in one pasuk. And therefore it needs to be able to carry things. Tanya mishmei de Rabbi Nechemya, b'sha'a shemahapech b'zeitim hofchovero evo. The reason is because since in that pkak, there is place to actually see. If there's a little bit of oil, will get stuck in there. You turn it upside down, and you look at it, and the expert will check the color and consistency of the oil in the pekak in order to know whether it's ready, ripe enough yet for pressing. Because of that, we consider it to be a beit kibul, because you really want to be makabla. If hofcho, by the way, means from the beginning, then we can learn rosho literally. In other words, the parshas of Ochoz, you're using it, and then when you turn it upside down, you can look at the pekak shebarosho. But it may mean if you want to check the oil, you twist it upside down, and you pick up a little bit of the oil with what was previously rosho. So Lamaze, either approach would work. A further continuation from our dear president,
Dr. Helikovich,
is that Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol hakelim nitalim, look, you can move anything, except for Hameser Hagadol V'yateit Shel Macharisha. When we're talking about a large saw, like a logger's saw or a professional woodworker's saw, over there, it's got to be absolutely, this is a guy who's going to be making wood beams, roof beams out of wood, and obviously if it's a lumber yard, the saw has to be completely straight. The last thing you want to do is to use it for something that may put a little notch into it. You have to replace the whole blade. So there, it's definitely muktzeh, what we would call machmas chisaron kis. So too, the blade of your plow has got to be completely straight in order for you to get your furrows correct. And that you'd never use for anything else. Omer Nachman, you should know that an uchle de katsri is the equivalent of a yatecha machareisha damya. The uchle de katsri was a copper type of kli that had little holes going through it that would be used for putting on sizing or starch mixed with water. It would drip through the holes. Those of you who remember the old days will remember there always were the little kli that you would shake over the baguette after washing that had that stuff in it. And that, you don't want it to get stuffed up with anything else, the very small holes, and you don't want it bent. That's the same thing as a yatecha machareisha used by the washing companies. Omer Abaye, a charva de ushkefi, which is a leather worker's knife, and a sakina de ashkafta, a butcher knife, which needs to be really sharp, and a chatzina de nagre is ki yated shel machareisha damya. These are all things that a nagar who would use his... What do you call those things? A chisel or what is the flat blade that you use to get a
planer?
Plane.
It could be a plane also, really. How do you say a spachtel blade in English? Okay, but that's later on. That's a miktsoa is really a spachtel blade, but I forgot how you say it in English. A scraper, maybe. Tana rabbanan berishona hayomrim shlosha kelim nitalim b'shabbat. Now, they used to say that there were only three things that you were allowed to move on Shabbat. Now, these, as we'll see later on, is the beginning of what we call the Gzerat Kelim. The Gzerat Kelim was made, as we said yesterday, in the days of Nehemiah. So when they came for that Aliyah Shniyah, to build the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a tremendous amount of Chilul Shabbos that was going on. Open Chilul Shabbos, people carrying and bringing in for their business on Shabbos. And because of the Isser of carrying, which of course what this whole Masechet is about, and what the next Masechet is about, that it was extended, and according to Rambam, the whole din of Tiltul Muktzeh is an extension of the din of Tiltul Bichlal, because it's carrying Mirushis L'Rishos. They ossered in those days carrying anything, even inside your house, except for three things, and that is a Miktsoa Shel Dveila, and that was a little like a Shpachtel knife that you would use for cutting through a pressed fig cake. A zuama listerine shokedera, and that was listerine used against bacteria inside it. Oh, no, I don't think that's what it means. So a zuama listerine, it's very interesting because listerine is really to get all the bacteria out. It's strange that the way that this Greek word has been imported is listerine means listerine, something that you use for pushing the fat and the filth that comes to the top of a soup to the side. So that the zuama listerine is a large type of spoon that is used for getting rid of the dirt on top of a soup, of a kedera, and a sakin ktana, a small sharp knife, like a steak knife. She'al gabei shulchan HaTosfos points out that obviously the simple things like your cups and your silverware and your plates, obviously they didn't ask. Here it's saying even specific tool kind of kaling that they were matir, there was only these three. And of course, your kelim for eating on Shabbos, anything else you couldn't move. No, I shouldn't say anything, any other kli you couldn't move. Then, as time passed, there were various kulas in which they released the chumrah of the original gezerah of Nehemiah. And again, this is a subsequent gezerah because we know that there was already an isser of muktzeh at the time of David and Shlomo that we learned from the Gemara earlier, but that was not kelim. That was about things that weren't kelim, like a dead body or an evan and so on. But here they answered kelim. When the gezerah took hold and people started being more makban on Shabbat, they were matir, hitiru. In a later generation where Shabbat took hold even more, chozer v'hitiru. When it got even better, chozer v'hitira. Until it finally got to the point where people were taking muktzah so seriously that they basically canceled it. Acha amru, kol hakelim nitalim b'Shabbat. You're allowed to use even a kli shemalach tali yisr. The only thing that you have to be makbid on is a meser gadol, yated shemacharesha, which are kelim that are actually machmas chisaron kis. The person is kovelo makom, he doesn't want to use for anything else. And that is called mikatseya biyadayim. Now the question is, if we went through a series of heter, and then another heter, and then another heter, until we got to the final heter, what was the series? And in understanding what the series were, was, we can understand the various levels of chumrah of the dinim of mutzah. And therefore, it's very important for us to trace these levels, which I think perhaps we'll do tomorrow, since this goes on for a while, unless everybody has a lot of patience. Are we okay with patience today? All right, I know that. I'm certainly fine with it. You know, I mean, the fact that our attorney has people waiting, they're used to the idea, you know. Well, he's doing daf yomi today, sorry. They used to say he's in court. But, you know. So, all right, so what exactly, as the Gemara, were these stages? Ma yitiru, v'chazru v'yitiru, v'chazru v'yitiru, om rabbi. What it means is that first, they were matir moving kelim that we wouldn't even realize were ever part of mukta, a klisha malach salahetar. They allowed you to move things that were completely mutter, things that the purpose to do would be mutter to do on Shabbos anyway, but it was only l'tzarech gufa. They would not allow you to move a dover shemalach talaheter, to move it out of the way. They would only allow you to move it if you needed to actually use it, but otherwise you weren't allowed to move it. So let's say you had this little shtender that I'm using here to support my Gemara. Well, you weren't allowed to move that at all. Couldn't use it on Shabbos. Well, that was the first set. You could move it. If you need to use the table under the shtender, you couldn't move the shtender, though. That was still awesome. Then the chazru v'yitiru, the next stage of heter, was you're allowed to move this shtender even for the purposes of the space beneath it, which is litzarech mikomo. So that means, according to Abaye, litzarech mikomo is more difficult to be matir than litzarech gufo. And then they were chazru v'yitiru, even a klisha malachter li'iser, but that was litzarech gufo, not litzarech mikomo. But even then, it was only a small kli that wasn't difficult to move. It was adayim biyado achat in b'shtei adayim lo. You could only move it if it was movable with one hand, not if you needed to pick it up with two hands like we saw earlier in the previous parak. We had that original question of pamotot shabbat rebbe or kronot shabbat rebbe, which we'll get to in a moment. Ad shamru, and then the final stage was they were mevata the whole takana kol hakelim nitolim b'shabbat, meaning afilu b'shtei adayim. Says Rava, I don't see that you have a right to make that kind of subtle distinction between tzarech gufa and tzarech mekomo. It just says hitiru. Hitiru to me means that there was a class of objects, not a class of movement, a class of objects that they were hitiru. Therefore, I don't care what the purpose is. Mali l'tzarech gufo, mali l'tzarech mekomo. Remember, this is a gezerat kelim. The heter would be the heter of kelim, not the heter of what you do with the kelim. Therefore, I suggest the way to read it is like this. The first stage of the heter was they were matar klisha malachta l'heter, but that, it wouldn't matter for what purpose. So, bein l'tzarech gufo, bein l'tzarech mekomo, my little shtender here could be moved, whether I wanted to use it for a gemara or I wanted the space underneath it to get it out of the way. Is that a question? The chazru v'yitiru. I'm getting a. Oh boy! Why don't you? Okay, bye. Oh, I see. Are you on? You see? Okay, fine. Well, get him back on. The chazru v'yitiru. Troublemaker here. I'm telling you. The chazru v'yitiru mi'chamal etzel. Now, this is the movement which is not for itself. Now that is a whole different issue. That is the tzorech atzmo. The tzorech atzmo means you want to protect it. This kli is exposed. It's raining. Now, to move something because you want to protect it has nothing to do with its use at all. That is a focus on the object. And I'm moving something that I do not need for Shabbos in any way. That is a tremendous chiddush. And they were matir. That is a separate heter, mechamal etzel.
That's not called tzorech legufo?
No, tzarech gufo means I'm going to use it as a kli. Over here, I am not going to use it. So whatever its status was, legabe mukta, still ought to be mukta vis-a-vis Shabbos, because I don't need it for Shabbos. Exactly. So this was a major heter. So if I left the shtender outside, and it's raining, and it's going to get ruined, I was allowed to move it indoors. Okay, then the next stage, chazer v'yitiru, was even a davar shemalach l'yisr. So I could carry that hammer. I could carry that hammer, whether it was the tzarech gufo, the tzarech mekomo. But of course, I couldn't carry the hammer because it was left out in the rain. Mechamal etzel lo. And then I was only matir. Not the way you set it up, Abaye. But not a question of one hands or two hand, but one person or two persons, as we had the Kronot Shalbeg Rebbe earlier. There is a machloket rishonim as to whether Rava is arguing with Abaye in this, or whether he's just pointing out that there's no need In other words, once I'm already adding in the resh, I'll add in the sefer. But it's not that Abaye was necessarily arguing about this point, as we spoke about in the previous parak. And they were matar afilu b'shnei b'nei adam. Itvei Abaye. So Abaye asked from the case of the meducha. We said before that a meducha, ibi yesh bashum metaltalimota, v'im lav ein metaltalimota. So, if, you, now, obviously, we've already answered, you see, that the case over there was either alibir of Nehemiah, or the further teretz, was that a meducha is something that a person's miyachid la makom. Obviously, as the Rishonim point out, this sugya is arguing with that understanding that Rabbi gave before. And we're not going to assume that that is the case, because otherwise, what's he asking? You see, what Abaye is saying is, look, if you agree with me that we have a metaltalinota for two purposes, because I'm assuming that mechamel etzel has not been an issue. Of course not mechamel etzel. That's not for it. But metaltalinota to use it or to move it out of the way. Okay, so according to me, it would make sense, because according to me, you cannot be metaltal. That's true, but only letzorach mekomo. I've said that. But you said even letzorach mekomo, you can move it. So how do you explain that? Well, I explain it by saying you can't move it mechamel etzel, and that is included in the same concept. Now, note that Abaye and Rava here are really consistent with the way that they explained the stages earlier. Because according to Rava, the mechamel etzel is a difference in type. It's almost the same as a different kli, because it's not usage. It's not focusing on my need for Shabbos at all. It's not moving for Shabbos. It's moving for the mukzah. And therefore, it's a whole different class of movement. Abaye, who held that we need to be mechalik between three different stages of movement, the tzorach gufo is the easiest to be matter, the tzorach gukomo a little more difficult, and mechamel etzel impossible. So according to mechamel etzel is not something that we would be referring to. We say can't move it. We may move it for Shabbos. We're not talking about mechamel etzel, which is why he doesn't entertain even the possibility that Rava raises over here. So that's the answer to the meducha problem. Eitve, how about the Ali problem? V'shavim, she'im katzav alav basabot b'tirel b'tshamayim moida on yontev, that if you finish butchering on it, you can't move it anymore because they're only being matir for the usage of Simchas Yontev. Well, says whether they're also talking about mechamel etzel. Omer Rebbe Chanina, you should know that this original description of Rishonah, Yom Rim, there's only three things you're allowed to move on Shabbat and nothing else. That is a Mishnah that survives from the time of Nehemiah ben Chachariah. And it was Nishnet Mishnah Zu. And this was a disaster. When they came back to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, I mean, he saw the most awful things. They're actually making wine on Shabbos. And they would bring in the grain, loading up the trucks, and yayin on avim et einim v'chom asam avim Yerushalayim b'yom haShabbat. And my God, there weren't even any Haredi demonstrations, and this was awful. So that's when they made this takona.
Good.
Kol akelim nitalim b'Shabbat v'daltotehem imahem afapishnit parku she'inan domi v'daltot abayit lefi she'inan min amuchan. Notel Adam Kunis the Fatseya Boat Egozim Kardom Lachtok Patadvila, Migira Lagurba Tagvina, Magrefa Ligrov Patagrogrot, Et Harachat Vetamalgez, Lateta Lav the Katan, Et Akush Vetakirkar, Litchovbo, Machachoyat, Litobo Takots, Shosakain, Liftakbo Tadelet. כל הכלים ניטלים, אף על פי שנתפרקו בשבת ולא מבואי בכל, עד רבה. בשבת, at least, at the beginning of Shabbat, הם מוכנים אגבי אביהם. But בכל, they weren't מוכנים at all. אומר, אביי, אחי כמה. That's your interpretation, which was a mistake. כל הכלים ניטלים בשבת ודלתותיהם עמם, אף על פי שנתפרקו בכל, ניטלים בשבת, אז סבר נתפרקו בשבת דווקא. תן רבון. דלת של שידה, של תיבה ושל מגדל, נוטלין אבל לא מחזירין, של לול של תרנגלים לא נותנים ולא מחזירים. So now, בשלמה, של לול של תרנגלים makes a lot of sense. I mean, since it's בחובר מיירה, יש בניין בקרקע, יש סתיר בקרקע. But I don't get the part about שידה, תיבה ומגדל. I mean, what does it tell all? איקה סבר יש בניין בכלים, so then there has to be סתירה בכלים. If there's no סתירה בכלים, you can take the doors off the hinges, so then there should be no בניין בכלים. Amar Abaye, well, Leolam Kasava Yesh Binyan Bekelim, the Yeshtira Bekelim, and it doesn't mean to say you can take the doors off the hinges. It says if the door fell off the hinges, Shinit Luka Amar. Amar Le Rava, well, that's a brilliant Pshat Abaye, except for two minor problems. First of all, that it's not what it says. You know, it says Not Limkatani. And how would you explain, but you can't put them back if you never said you could take them off? But other than those two minor problems, it's really brilliant. Elama Rava Kasova Ein Binyan Bekelim, Ein Stira Bekelim, and over here it's a Gzera Shema Yitka, which would be a Malacha Makibah Patish. No Tiladam Kurna. Some of you to Kunashel Egozim is what it means. Livatseat Egozim. Certainly, the Mishnah would be Mater Kunashel Napachim, Kasova Dovish Malachtoli Sir Afilatzor Gufa Zosser. Omele Rabba, and I suppose you're going to read the Sefer like that. Explain to me, Sefer Diktani Rachat and Amal Gez, the title of the Katan. Have you ever seen such a thing? Rachat Amal Gez, Miyachadui Lekotan. Hello, Omele Rabba, Kurno Shon Napachim is what it means, the Fatzeat Agozim, and that's because Kazava Davar Shemalachto, the Yisur, the Tzor of Gufo, Mutter. Etve Abayel Rabba. Meduka im Yesh Pashu Metatali Mota, Vim Lavim Metatali Mota. Omale, well, that's going on. Liber Rabbi holds inkling nita, ella letzorach the tashbish for which it's miyuchad. Eitvet. Now there on in Beitzalagav Yontev and Simchas Yontev, Beit Shabbos says nonetheless in notlim b'tahali lekatzev alav basar ubeit hilul matirin v'shavim sheim katzev alav basar. At that point, it becomes asur l'taltala. So first, Rabbi was going to answer the also to Rabbi Nechemiah, but given the Shabbat, the Adiyam Rebbechidah Bar Shalmiyah, Mishmei the Rab, that Akol Maldim Besichi Zairi Abizuri, according to Rashi, these are Dai professional Kalim. According to others, he even brings Rabbi Dalevi, who says that they are part of a weavers, part of the loom. But anyway. Keep it the carpet alayer. It's the equivalent of Bosler miyachidlu makom. So there, it's my answer. Akinami miyachidlu makom. According to Rashi, this goes back even on the previous case. Itmar Rabbi Barav Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kurnas Shel Zavim even Shaninu. Rabbi Shimon Barav Amar Kurnas Shel Basamim Shaninu. So mind you, Amar the Basamim Kol Shekin Zahabim. Mind you, Amar Shel Zahabim Basamim. Is just too sensitive to get even one molecule, one part per billion in there. It's going to ruin the smell. Et akush v'etakarkar, tenorabana. Paga shetamna b'tevan, v'charara shetamna b'gechalim. Imigula miksata mutar l'taltala, v'imlava sur l'taltala. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoy omer, what's the difference? You can even be tochim b'kusha b'karkar, v'in mina arot me'alehim, because that's totally minatzad. On Rav Nachman Aloch, Rav Elazar ben Tadoy. Wait a minute. Lamer me the sub Rav Nachman Tiltel ben Atzad Lav Shmei Tiltel? I thought it was Rav Nachman who said about the radish, the pugla, minomala lamata shari, but mimata lamala is also because you're going to be moving the ground as you pull it out. Well, he had karata from that one. Machat shoyad bitol batakot. Sholach le Rav Abrei the Rav or Rav Yosef. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu. Machat shenital charara o uktsa maho. What's your problem? Tuma Shabbat Karamita, Tuma Klima Sebina, Lini Shabbat, Midi the Chosibina, and I'm a husband, Mishkloba Coats. Oh, my Rabbi, I beg your pardon. Mandakamotiv, Shaprakamotiv. Midalinian Tuma love Manu, Linian Shabbos love Manu. Meitve machat ben de kuva ben shenet kuva mutar la tatala be shabbat velo amr de kuva lan yentume bevat. Tirgam Abaye aliba de Rava. That could be talking about before it's completed. It's begol miaskina, because over there the gabi Shabbos you always keep your options open. I mean zimna de mim lachal yamash velo mana. Aval echad de nital charara otsa. Their Rava might be right. That Adam Zorkala bit of gruta out, and it loses all of its shame clean. Asubi Yanuka Rab Nachman Asir Rab Sheshet Sharon Rab Nachman Aminana. That's not. Eno Sina Fiktoizin Bishabbat, obviously because it's a tikkun. Rav Sheshet, now, hatam lav urche, but hachal fufe is urche. Om Rav Sheshet, mina, that it's not. Macha shayadli toba ata kotz. Reb Nachman, a kotz. A kotz is pocket. Hachal pocket, you're actually dealing with the zeborim. Kone shal zeitim im yesh kesher b'rosho mekabel tuma, v'im lav eno mekabel tuma. Benkach u benkach nital b'shabbat. Amai, it's a pshutekliyetz in a mekabel tuma. My time you do me the sakbina. Because here you use it for a sample. And an uchla de katri is the equivalent of a yatecha machresha, Danya. Om rabbi acharba de ushkefi, or a sakina dash kafta, or a chatzina de nagre. These are also very carefully kept in their kiyatecha machresha, Danya. Tana Rabbanan, Marishana Yomrim Shlosha Kelim Nitalim Bishabbat, a Mektsoa Shodvela, a Zuama Listrin Shokedera, a Sakit Ktana Shagabi Shulchan, then they were Matya, then in later times they were Chozer more Matya, then in yet later times they were again Chozer Matya, and then finally they said Kolakim Nitalim Bishabbat, Chutz Ben Amesra Gadova Yate Chemach Aresha, and that's the Mishnah we just had. So that we have a representation of many different generations' values when it comes to the dinim of mukta. My hitiru v'chazer v'hitiru v'chazer v'hitiru. Rabbi, I'll tell you this: the sequence of events. First, hitiru a davar shmalach to laheter, but only l'tzarach gufa. The second chazer v'hitiru was a davar shmalach to laheter, even l'tzarach mekoma. The third chazer v'hitiru was a davar shmalach to laiser, even l'tzarach, but only l'tzarach gufa, but not l'tzarach mekoma. And furthermore, it was only if it could be carried. Until finally they got to the stage where they were matir kol hakem nitol b'shabbos, even b'shtei adayim. Omele Rava, why is the michti tiro katani? I mean, why is tzarech guf and tzarech mekomo two different classes of heter? I mean, mali tzarech guf and mali tzarech mekomo. Ela b'Rava yitiro dover shemalach tala heter. For whatever. Obviously not Micham Letzel. Over there, you're not using it on Shabbos for Shabbos. Chozer v'itiro, even Micham Letzel. Then the next stage was Chozer v'itiro, even a Dovah Shemach Yisr, but that was also the Tzorah Gufa and the Tzorah Mekoma, not Micham Letzel. And it was also if it needed two people to move it. So Ba'odam Echad, yes, not Pshnei B'nei Adam. Until we get to our Mishnah, Kol HaKedem Nitalim B'Shabbat, Afil B'Shnei B'nei Adam, but not Micham Letzel. Et ve'abaya meducha. Im yesh pashu metatalim otah v'lavi metatalim otah. Sure, says Rabbah, but that's talking about Micham Letzel. Et ve'vishavim katzav lav basar also latato on yontav after you used it. Hachanan Micham Letzel. Omer Rabbi Chanina b'yimei Nechemya ben Chachalaya nishlit b'shna zo dechti b'ayam ima ima ra'iti b'yuda dorchim gitot b'shabbat u'mevi'in ha'arimot. They walk the highlands. Just got back. Just got back.
And we're carried up by this.
It was terrible. Yeah. But only the first 2 weeks. So, where are we up to?
The double dots on the bottom.
The double dots on the bottom. So today's dot is Daf Kuf Chav Gimel. And we're holding on Daf Kuf Chav Beis on the base at the two dots. So in the Mishnah, we were told that Neutel Adam Kurnis Lafatseya Teregozim, you're allowed to take a hammer, and certainly a hammer seems like something you don't usually use for smashing nuts, you know, unless you're Rube Goldberg or somebody, but normally this is not the Tashmish. So does this mean necessarily that any type of Kli, even something that's generally not to be used on Shabbos, which is called a Kli Shemalach Tole Isur, I mean, the hammer is usually used for banging nails, not for crushing nuts. Mm-hmm. Implication, then, might be that as long as the usage is a mutter usage on Shabbos, we basically don't care about the Kli, and mukta disappears. That's what it seems to be saying. Omer Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda wants to disabuse us of that notion, and he says, well, let's not make a mistake about this. When it says kurnis, it means a nut hammer, of course. You all have nut hammers in your house. A nut hammer, actually for walnuts and some heavy little. So a nut hammer you can use to crack open nuts, but you certainly can't take a sledgehammer to crack open nuts. Avalor, avoshal napachim lo. I mean, for heck, that would be like
using nuclear energy to knock down a building or a city. Anyway. So what does this tell us? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, it can't possibly mean a hammer that's used for hammering in nails, because that's not used usually for nuts. In which case, to take it and to be kovea usage for tzorach gufo does not mean, as it sounds on the surface, for the need of itself, which you think would mean, let's say, it's outdoors and it's raining on it and so on. It means for a tzorach, which is its own use, own goof is used, needed for. It doesn't mean needed for its goof. That's called the tzorach atzmo. If you want it for itself, say it's in the rain, you want to move it now indoors, it's a hammer in the rain, that would not be called the tzorach gufo. Okay, so here the concept of the tzorach gufo is a little bit, the construction is a little bit unclear, because it means a tzorach which is needed, its goof is needed for, right? So you would say it gufo litzorach is more the way we would have said. So in other words, he's saying tzorach gufo remains usher on a klisha malachta liyaser. Or Malay Rabba, well, how far are you going to take this? The next case in the Mishnah, for instance, was talking about a rechet and a malgez lateta lev lekatan. I mean, these are awfully big things. I mean, there's certainly no such thing as a pitchfork that's made for babies. I mean, you know, unless they're already in hell. But generally speaking, you don't use pitchforks on them. Okay. So what are you going to say what that's all about? I mean, mimi achte le katan. You're telling me that there's a particular thing. You're saying that is used for a katan. I mean, what do we use them for? If you got too many kids in the house, you pick them up and throw them onto their shelves. Or, it makes no sense. It's not the type of kli that's usable for really that you make for a katan. Therefore, says Rabbi, I believe that the meaning is kipshuto. And when it says kurnis, it means any type of hammer, even a kurnis from napachim. You want to take a sledgehammer, use a sledgehammer to break open your nuts, the fatzeah ba'atogozim, it's mutter. In which case, what the Mishnah is telling us, says Rabbi, is exactly what Rabbi Yehuda attempted to avoid. Namely, kasavar davar shemalachto le'yisr le'tzorach gufo mutar, that in fact you could take any kli at all, even something that is generally used for things asr on Shabbos, as long as the usage of this kli is leheter, then it would be okay. Now, obviously, this doesn't mean taking something which isn't a kli, which is a much greater level of mukta. I mean, we have a mukta mach gufo, which means that this is just a rock. You can't go and pick up a rock unless this rock was miyuchad before Shabbos for pitzua egozi. But a kli, as we saw earlier, once something is a kli, it enters into a completely new realm, in which the tashmish becomes the defining element that created the mukta. So not its lack of tashmish, but rather the specificity of the tashmish. And therefore, as long as it's open to other usages, we didn't answer, according to Rava. And this is, of course, how we paskin, that you're allowed to use a kalisha malach for le'yisr. Now, there are other issues, which we've seen earlier, which are things like mi'uz, which we're not talking about over here. We don't know how that stands in the hierarchy of mukta yet. Or where the usage is so specific that you would not usually want to use it for anything else at all. We just turned it on. It should work eventually, I hope. Has this been doing anything? It's just been getting weaker and weaker. So that we're not talking about. In other words, if we have a kli whose usage is very, very specific and delicate, then we already saw this another concept of muktzamachus kisaron kis. And there it's called miyakid le makom. You don't want it to be used for anything else. That's not what we're talking about over here. Eishvei Abaya l'Rabba. Abaya asked Rabba, who claims that it would be mutter to use something which is usually set aside for an osu use on Shabbos. Again, it's very important to remember the words correctly. We use these technical terms instead of having to explain it each time. A kli shemalachto le'yisr, something which is normally used to do an object of work that isn't done on Shabbos. So according to you, Rabba, who claims that a kli shemalachto le'yisr can be used for heter, here it says, miduka. Im yesh ba shum metatalinota, vim lav en metatalinota. You have a mortar, and there's some crushed garlic that was left in this mortar. So now I'm using the mortar as a kli for the shum. In that case, metatalinota, you would be allowed to move it on Shabbos. But im lav en metatalinota, if not for the fact that it had some shum left, you can't move it at all. In metatalinota seems to mean for any purposes. In other words, so I want to turn this mortar upside down, and I want to sit on it. That shouldn't be good, according to it. It says, in metatalinota ella. So in other words, it's disallowing usages that are even heter gomer. Obviously, to sit on something is heter gomer, but I can't move it in order to sit on it. Doesn't mean you can't sit on it if it's upside down. You can't move it to sit on it. So, in the Tatalino time. Now, the truth is, as we'll see later on, at this moment, we already have an answer in our minds. Because the Eid Mital Talino time, remember, there are various levels of tilt. In other words, just like there's various levels of muksa in terms of Kli Shemalach Talahet, Kli Shemalach Talayasin, Kli, which is muksa Makhav Svisarim Kis, or something which is Bechlal not a Kli, and there's more, I'm saying Yetal, but among what we've discussed so far, there's four different levels, and really we've seen already six different levels of muksa. There's also different levels of moving. So we can have the usage of a kli for its normal use. Take a plate to put something in a plate. And we'll see, by the way, that sounds a little silly, but we'll see it's not silly at all, that there is, in fact, a mandi omar, and even halacha today, according to many, many shitas, you cannot move a kli just for the heck of it. But you can't just pick up a kli and, look at it, turn it around, and throw it in a child. Even your cup. Yeah, exactly. In other words, it's only tzarev that you can move a kli for. So let's talk about tzarev, which is heter, and you use it for its heter, that's the lowest problem level. Next problem level is that you have something which is usually used here for iser, and now you want to use it for something which is completely heter. But we also have, possibly in between, again, we haven't determined the hierarchy, but we also have the question, could you move something which is mutter to move, but not for any usage, but to keep it out of the ring? The tzorach atzmo, the technical term in the Gemara being mechamalatzel. You want to get it out of the heat, which is damaging it. Now, it's not clear that they were ever matur mechamalatzel. So we did have an answer right here. We could have said that when it says ein metatolinota, it doesn't mean ein metatolinota to sit on it. It means ein metatolinota the tzorach atzmo, to help the kli. Now, of course, there's another usage, which is called the tzorach mikomo. The Tzorach Mekomo is definitely a less problematic usage than Mechamel itself. I need the place where this is, I need to move it out. Why would you say that it's a less problematic usage to move something to Tzorach Mekomo than Mechamel itself? What's your svara?
More purpose in my needs. There's more of a purpose in addressing my needs as opposed to my context needs. I may have to protect my property.
So what's wrong with protecting your property?
That helped my Shabbos activity. If I do that with Tzorach Mekomo, it means there's something in my Shabbos activity that needs a response.
One you're doing for it, or one you're doing for it, the other one you're doing for you.
Yeah, I think that's what we're saying, essentially. Right? Saying the same thing. Nice. Any other distinctions?
Here's a specific cleave of the clean. And many that clean, well, there were other cleavers then. I mean, we're not relating to this clean, we're relating to the place. Not to the clean, so therefore the clean just happens to be there. But if somebody else would have been there, you would have also moved it.
You're saying it's not really a usage at all of the clean. No, the clean remains okay.
Or you could also say, look, I need the clean, I need it to be gone.
No, I need it to be gone. We always view as all this. Like, we have the same concept, There's also an afkamina. There's also an afkamina, as Barnea just brought up, immediacy. This is not a real use at all. I have no immediate use whatsoever, because right now nothing's happening, and I just don't want it ultimately to be hurt. Okay, these are all possible differences, but the fact is that we'll see clearly in the order of priorities of movement, the Mechamel itself is of the lowest, almost the lowest, I mean the very lowest, Shalom Shumzar, but almost the lowest level of need is called Mechamel itself that would be Deich HaMukz, even though you may feel it's a very important need in terms of your wallet, but in terms of the Shabbos hierarchy, it's a lower level. Okay. So our answer could easily have been that when it says ein metatolinota, it means ein metatolinota mechamel itself, not ein metatolinota at all. But for some reason, Rabbi doesn't want to give this answer. Tosfos explains later on that the lashon to him of ein metatolinota just sounds like for any purpose at all, because otherwise he should have made a distinction. So therefore, he says, Amarle, and this is important because it introduces a new shita. We've mentioned the shita earlier. Amarle hamani rebbe nechem yigid amar ein kli nital elul tzorach tashmishah. This shita represents a very big chumrah, Rebbe Nechemya's chumrah. He holds that you can never use a kli on Shabbos unless it is its primary usage. And since, I mean, according to him, clearly you couldn't use a hammer to crack a nut, because that's not its primary usage. Forget about the question of whether it's iser or heter. Even a kli shemalach la heter could only be used for its primary usage. So you wouldn't even be allowed to take a glass and bang a nut open with it, because that's not its primary usage. So he strongly expands our concept of muktzah,
We're assuming that before Shabbos, he didn't say anything.
Correct. It wasn't miyuchad for any other use. We don't have evidence about it. Rabbi Nechemia would allow an artificial definition of a usage before Shabbos. We don't know. Right now, all he's saying is that the concept of muktza includes the moving of a kli for anything but its primary purpose.
I think we're going to come up with it as its primary concern.
We'll see that there was a muktza was actually a social reaction to the breakdown in Shmirat Shabbat at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, where the as is recorded in the Navi, there was a tremendous amount of open Chilul Shabbos when they came back to Yehuda, that people had simply forgotten many of the Shabbos. They were doing business on Shabbos and transporting goods, big transport day was on Shabbos, setting up the shuk and so on. So they had a very strong reaction to prevent any type of movement of things on Shabbos, as we'll see, and then gradually relaxed the Chumash Mukta. The question is, how relaxed did they get? We'll see. We're going to discuss all this later. So far, okay, we've got now three different shitas that we've seen. The most chomer is Rabbi Nechemia. You can only use something for its primary purpose, even if it's black to laheter. The next most chomer is Rabbi Yehuda. This, of course, is not to be put in the same context as Rabbi Nechemia. He's a Tanna, Rabbi Yehuda is an Amayir. But I'd say so far that we've met, we haven't seen the Tannaic basis for this. But Rabbi Yehuda's shita over here is that the meaning of our Mishnah is that you can use a kli shemalachto leheter for its heter, but you can't use a kli shemalachto leyisr, even litzorev gufo. And then we have Rabbo, what's a kli shemalachto leyisr, is usable litzorev gufo, as long as obviously it's a malacha shalheter. So, asks the Gemara, Esme, v'shavim she'im katzav alav basar she'asur letatalo. Now the truth is, there's no reason to leave out what's in the parentheses, other than it's being clear from the Rishonim that it didn't appear in our Gemara and that it was meant to be understood. So if the printer put it in, there's no reason for us not to use it. And there is a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about Beit Shammai saying, Ein notin et ha'alila katzev alav basar, u'Beit Hillel matiri. So here we're talking about a Pesach, and we want to use it for butchering meat. So we're going to provide a strong back for cutting something, or we want to bang out the meat, but it's certainly not the primary usage of the pestle, which is normally used for crushing, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So Beit Shammai says you're not allowed to use it. Beit Hillel is matir. This is talking about on Yom Tov, by the way. V'shavim she'im katzav alav basar she'asur letatalo. Everybody is moda, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, that if lemaisa you used it and you cut meat on it, that doesn't mean that now it's mutter after you did it, because it remains a kli shemalachta liyisr, because it's usually used for crushing in a way that's similar to tchina, to be tochin, and tochin is also. Now, why would it be that there would be a question over here, bichlal, why can't you use it now on something that is heter, saying, oh, you definitely can't use it. So what's the pshat? So he thought that maybe over here this is also a question that would be going like Rabbi Nechemia, who holds since that's not its primary usage, its primary usage is malachta liyisr, so you can't use it for anything else. And then he realized that there's another solution. After hearing the extent at which we're willing to extend the idea of a muktzimachus chisaron kis, because a muktzimachus chisaron kis obviously has got an awful wide range. I mean, how much muktzimachus chisaron kis? Look, clearly, if you're a sheikhet and you've got a very expensive shechita knife that you worked a few hours on smoothing, you certainly don't want to use that to cut your challah on Shabbos. I understand that that's muktzimachus chisaron. Okay. But how about, I mean, if you've got something which is, let's say, you've got a hammer that you use for hammering out gold, or gold worker. Well, it's delicate work. On the other hand, I mean, if I use the hammer for something else, it's the easiest thing in the world to smooth the hammer. Again, I just bang it a few times on my, on the anvil like we had before. That was the norm. You bang on an anvil. We were even b'chayim according to my mother in the mission. No, how? So, I mean, that the question is to what extent? And then there's all kinds of areas in the middle. So to what extent would we say that somebody's makbid? I mean, certainly makbid, you don't want your kids to use it. Does that mean makbid, you shouldn't use it for any other malach? So here it says, that's why, the reason I'm makbid in that, Because that's when it's a big machlokas rishonim. What exactly is the meaning of sifri zayin v'suri? Because the specific use is important, since what we're talking about over here is a definition of a range of activities. We need to very clearly define the range. There's three major shitas as to what these things are. So according to Tosfos, what we're talking about over here is an ironing press. And these are the parts that are used. You have the upper, the lower, and then the thing that you hold it down. Now, over there, if there's the slightest pagam in the press, it's going to show up in your suit. I mean, obviously, you want to be very mock-fit. You're not going to put something on, you're going to write something on that, and then have everybody's pants have you John Hancock on it. So that's considered to be strongly, that's a dover that would strongly, you know, be chisarnikis. There are other extremes of less hakpada. So some learn that it's talking about the kovet elyon and the kovet tachton of a weaver. Rashi brings such a pshat from his rabbeim. There's another pshat that it's talking about a dyer who would hold things in to dip it into the dye vat. So it has to be perfectly straight, because otherwise it will end up with too much dye in one place. But whatever, the point is over here that these are kalim that are not all that expensive, but they're used for a particular purpose. You wouldn't want to ruin them, necessarily. And therefore, once I know that I'm makbet on that level, to call it mukhi makbet sasarim kiz, and we call that, remember all the time, miyachet lehu makom, if I'm miyachet lehu makom, here too I could easily say a mortar and a pestle, I'm miyachet lehu makom. And that's the reason that we don't use it on Shabbos, even letzorech gufo, but ein afinamit, says Rava. If it hadn't been for that additional problem of kisarim kiz, I would have used it, even though it's a klisha malachul yisra, there never would have been a problem with klav with bechama and betulel. Itmar Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan, kurner shel zahavim. Well, look at that, just exactly what we were talking about before, amazing. A gold worker's hammer. So the gold worker's hammer, again, that case also, we were talking about a kurner shel zahavim shaninu, and the shaila is, what do we mean in our Mishnah to be matir? We talked about now we're gonna use something for cracking a nut and so on. So the question is, how far would we go? A kurdish of Zavim is certainly makbid on it a little bit, but no. If it gets a bang in it because you used it on a nut, you could smooth it out on your anvil. That's what we were talking about over here in our Mishnah, even though there's some type of hakpada. So in other words, he's taking it even a step beyond Rava. Correct? Rava said you use a sledgehammer. Obviously, I don't care much about this. It's not just going to happen to my sledgehammer to use it on a walnut. He's saying you can even use a kurdish ozavim, even though it may well make a little dent in your hammer. You don't care because it's repairable. Reb Shama bar Abba Amar, even a kurdish of basamim shaninu. A kurdish of a basam needs an extremely clean type of hammer surface because any kind of impurity that's on the hammer can easily affect its perfume. It's very, very sensitive to impurities. And therefore, you wouldn't want to use it for anything else. So the man yomer shel basamim, which is the closest that you might get to setting it aside and not wanting to use it, kol shekin zavim. He's certainly going to say, if it's a gold worker, he's not makir. Man yomer shel zavim, avo debit basamim kapit alayim. The one who says that the Mishnah is using even a gold worker's hammer on a nut, but he would not go so far as to say even a perfumery hammer, that's already makbid alav. So here we say a little bit of the breadth of mukhi makbid chisaron kis. Continues the Mishnah, zakush vesakarkar. So these are various pointed kalim. And it says over there you could use them if you want to litchovbo. You want to use them as a poker to get something out of an area that's hard to reach, a fruit or something. Tanarabon, paga shetanna beteven. If you have an unripe fig, and you put that fig inside of teven, that keeps it warm and makes it ripe. Something like we do for our esrogim with the apples. And the tevin is definitely mukta because tevin was generally used for making cement. So it's set aside for binyan. Or a charara, you have a piece of bread, shetamna b'gechalim, and it had been baking. It was one of those, cold baked breads. And you now need to get it out from between the dead coals. So in the gulem mikitzata mutana tatalai, if some of it is exposed, you just pick it up, then it's okay. How are you going to get to it if it's under the tevin? How are you going to get to your paga? If it's under the coals, how are you going to get to the bread? So then he wouldn't be allowed to take it because you're moving the coals. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadayon Merwa, what's the problem? Tochim b'kush b'karkar, which is the case, seems to be the case in our Mishnah. If once you pick them up, then the coals for the tefen will drop off the side, and you're not moving it directly, you're moving it minatzad, and apparently that's not a problem. And Ramatman says, I look at Rabbi Elazar ben Atoy. That's precisely how we paskin. It's okay to poke into it and then pick it up, even though that moves along the edge, will move the coals. Obviously, they're not burning coals. So Lameva discover Ramatman tiltu minatzad, lafshmei tiltu. You're telling me that according to Rav Nachman, you're allowed to move something that's mukta, as long as you don't move it directly. You're pulling something, and b'meila, this other thing moves. Problem is, Rav Nachman was the author of the Shita, who says exactly the opposite. Hai pugla, milamala lamata shoy, milamata lamala osir. Remember we had a case earlier of a radish, where you put the radish into the dirt, not in order for it's already picked. You put it there in order to remain cool and fresh, damp, moist. Now, if you put the radish in with the sharp end pointing down, says Rav Nachman, you can pick up the radish as long as some of it's exposed, because you won't move anything. But if you got the sharp end pointing up, you want to pick it up by the sharp end, when you pull it out, you're going to be moving dirt. That you can't do. So apparently, and clearly that's minatzad, all I'm doing is pulling up my radish, and you're saying I'm not allowed to do that. And it says the Gemara, Hadabe Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman has charata from that, and Tosus explains why we say it's from that and not from this. We have other evidence that Rav Nachman would have had charata, would have kashas on the pugla. So he had karata from the tsunon, the summer radish, and he was allowed to poke something and pull it up out of mukta, as long as you don't move the mukta stuff directly with your hand. Then we had a case of a sewing needle, machat shel yad, lito bozer kodesh, to take out a splinter with a sewing needle. Sholach le'rova b'reda rabbi l'rav Yosef, ilamdenu rabbeinu, machat shenitel charara o k'tza, mahu. Are you allowed to use a needle that is missing either its hole or its point on Shabbos? Amalek, well, our Mishnah says, a machat shel yad can be moved to take out a splinter. Now, last I heard, a splinter really doesn't care whether it's removed by a needle that has a place for thread in it or doesn't have a place for thread in it. The needle is a disaster for that coach in either case, and therefore, why would it make a difference if it has a place for thread? So Makashiyadi told about that coach. You might pate la coach, benikubla benjaniniku. The coach couldn't care less about the nekev, right? Coach only cares about the point. Eisei, Makashinita Kharawa Ktsatahura. So we ask on this psak, Rabbi Yosef's psak, that it says over here that if a machat is missing its hole, that it's tahor. Omra Abaye, what gives you the right to ask from Tumah on Shabbos? Of course, throughout the Masechta, we've been doing that, right? So Tuma Shabbos Karamisa. What the heck is the comparison of the dinim of Tuma Kalim, Lagabi Tuma, to the usage of a Kli on Shabbos? Tuma Kli Ma'asebina. Lenin Shabbos, meaning the Chosebina. I mean, there's a completely different definition, right? I mean, a Kli Lagabi Tuma is a Kli for which its purpose, it exists for its purpose. That's what makes it a Kli. Not that I could use it the way I would use a rock on the ground. I could use a rock on the ground as a hammer. It doesn't make it a hammer. But when it comes to Shabbos, as long as it has a use, so then it's not Muxi, but it's not, it's particular, it was manufactured for. There's no comparison. And therefore, all I need is meat and a fuzzy, something that's usable. Is this needle usable to take out a coat? Perfectly usable. And on Nami Chazim, Mishkel about coats. Since it's usable, it would have a din of a Kli Lagabe Shabbos. What's the comparison? On my Rav, we know what's a comparison. It's an excellent comparison. Manda kamosiv, shabra kamosiv. It's an excellent question. In fact, the two issues are fundamentally interconnected. If something is no longer considered to be a kli, legabe tuma, that means that it has lost its yichud of use. Because if it were still usable, we had like a bowl that has a hole in it. But it's not a hole that's big enough necessarily to let pomegranates escape. So it would still be usable. It would be a kli legabe tuma too. Since it's no longer usable, it's not considered to be something that people are thinking about in terms of use. Once they're not thinking about it in terms of use, it becomes a muktzah. That's the definition of muktzah, not thought about in terms of use. So I don't understand what you're saying. You're telling me that people keep around broken sewing needles in their house because they need them in case the kids get a splinter. That's ridiculous. So we ask about the following. Machat bein nekuva bein shenu eina nekuva mutar l'taltala b'shabbat v'lo amru nekuva. What is Rava talking about? It's the Ferish of Raisa that says that if you have a machat without a nekev in it, then indeed Lagabi Tuma it's not a kli, but Lagabi Shabbos it is a kli. So here we see that Abaye's approach was correct, and that when it comes to Tuma, we have different standards. Tirgama Abaye, but the Rava wasn't present to answer the question of himself, but Abaye said, look, I mean, I'll stand in Rava's place for a minute, and I'll tell you what he would have said. What he would have said is that this is irrelevant. This is not talking about a broken needle. A broken needle, Rava would have said, is indeed useless to be thrown in the garbage. It's junk. It's talking about over here an uncompleted needle. In other words, the manufacturer first cuts, you know how you make a needle, you first take wire, you cut the wire, and then you stamp a hole in it. And it hasn't been stamped yet. Fine. So it's talking basically about gomei kalim. You don't throw out gomei kalim. At one point or another, you complete it, or you can decide in your mind to use it. So then, it's a completely different issue. The gomei askinat. Since zinnim b'mimlach alayu umash l'umana, since you could at any point decide to use this wire, cut wire, as a needle for removal of a coat, abol ha'ach, in a case where echad anitach harana, you already had a needle. Now it broke. So if it broke, or the point is missing, adam zorkal ben grutot, you throw that in the junk pile. You don't keep it around. Therefore, Rava would say there's no comparison between the two cases. You could have an unholed needle, but it's still not grutot. It's not junk. It just isn't completed. Or you can have a broken needle. Rava would claim that a broken needle, since it loses its shame legabe tuma, is no longer kli legabe shabbos, because why does it use its shame legabe tuma? Because people don't think about it as useful any longer. If it's not useful, then it's mukta. Because Abaye does. Abaye, that's why Abaye argues. And he says the fact that somebody may keep the needle around doesn't mean that it's not a broken needle, like Abituma. Rubber says, but Manashah, it's a broken needle, like Abituma, means that you don't see it as being useful. If you don't see it as being useful, then it's grutal.
Don't we call a needle without a hole in it a kim?
You're not claiming that a rose is a rose is a rose, I hope.
No, just trying to differentiate between the
broken. Well, and tell me, in your house, do you keep broken needles around to use as pins?
No.
Okay, there you go.
Right.
So a pin has to have a head, else it's going to go over the head.
Asuve yanuka. Now, the question over here is, are you allowed to remember we had before the case of the fufa yanuka. They used to believe that unless you save that infant and wrapped it quickly in something that would keep it tight.
Swaddling.
You'd end up with a child that would grow up looking like a spider, you know, with look at those infants, they don't know what to do with their hands. See? And so they swaddled the poor kids, right? But this Tosu says is beyond swaddling. This is Asuvi Yanuka, is where there's actually a dislocated organ, or at least they felt it must be dislocated. They dislocated it, putting it back in place. But anyway, Asuba Yanuka, Rav Nachman holds it's Osir. Rav Sheshet holds it's Mutter. Now, we'll see how this is Nogea, the Derech of Tikkun of a thing. So Rav Sheshet says it's Mutter. Rav Nachman says, look, I'll prove to you that it's Osir. Om Rav Nachman, Yom Minallah, the basis of my idea over here is that it says, Ein Osin Afek Toizin B'Shabbat, that you're not allowed to use an emetic on Shabbos. They use the medics, of course, in the good old Roman fashion, to have room for another state. So you can't do that on Shabbos. Now, apparently, the reason you can't do it is because it's similar to tikkun. No, it's certainly not a refuah. I'm not using this as a medic to get poison out of my stomach. I just want to eat another steak. But because it's similar, says Rav Nachman, to tikkunei gavra, that means that there was a gezeira even on something like an effect toizin, in which case there should certainly be a takana not to fix up the infant's organs, even though it's tikkun. Rav Sheshet says, well, it's no comparison. Asam lav urche. It's not the norm that the way that you eat is to take an emetic. Hacha urche. Over here, it's like, what are you doing? It's like, this is the way that you feed a child? You're allowed to feed a child? You're going to say, it's considered to be tikkun gavra because when you feed them, they live. I mean, that's not called tikkun. That's simply called living. It's the way that you live. So over here, doing that to an infant is simply the way that a child is normally cared for. Ah, and here's why we bring it here. Om Rav Sheshet Minah Minallah, I can prove it to you. Because the Mishnah in Shabbos says, which just happens to be our Mishnah, that machat shel yad can be used litolba et hakotz. You're allowed to take out a splinter on Shabbos. And why are you allowed to take a splinter out on Shabbos? must be that there's no problem of an iser of tikkuni gabra. Otherwise you'll say, look, this is making the person more shalem. That's saying you. Alishna is the case we've been talking about. Yeah. Reb Nachman says, well, no, it's not the same. Hatam pakid. The question of the coats has its own separate identity. It's broken in and of itself. When I'm taking out that coat, it's true, I'm leaving the person in better shape, but I'm not dealing with the person. When I'm dealing with the yanuka, I'm dealing with the person. I'm fixing up the child. Fixing up the child is entirely a different issue. Okay, the truth is that this distinction between something that is in a thing and something that's on a thing is a very fundamental distinction that we actually apply in many cases on Shabbos. Let's say a guy is walking and he walked into some nettles on Shabbos and he got these things on his coat. You're allowed to pull them out. You're certainly not allowed to clean the coat. So that's the difference. One is called pakid, one is called lo pakid. It's a general nakamina. It applies also to tikkuni garment, not only to tikkuni coats. Even though the maisa, excuse the pun, obviously, even though the maisa, in this case, the tikkun of the coats, the removal of the coats, is still considered to be a tikkun for it. But nonetheless, it's pokey, it's separate. Kanesha zeitim. Im yesh kesher brosho mekabel tumah, v'im lav ein mekabel tumah, v'benkach u'benkach vital b'shabbat. So once again, we have confusion of the issue of Shabbos and other things. So here we have a Kanesha zeitim. Of course, this involves a completely different issue. Kanesha zeitim is the reed that you would use. Remember that they would let the olives sit for a while in order to have a little bit of heat in them from the oxidation. And then they would break down, it would be easier to get the oil out of them. And you would use a reed to poke them, and to maneuver them, move them around so that you get oxygen into it and let agitate. The whole thing agitate, yeah. So now if this kana has a kesher being a knot, we actually use the word knot in English. For a piece of wood that has a knot in it. So here in a corner, you also have places where the corner was branching, you have a knot. What the knot does is two things. First of all, it spreads the wood. That's the corner is wider in that point. And it also creates a stima. So basically what you end up having is a little tiny container on the top of the reed. Now on the surface, I mean, who cares? Basically, we're not good using it as a container. We're using this as a poker. And here, the issue is not whether it's usable, where Rav and Abaya had their machlokas. The issue is whether it's pshute kliyeis. I mean, certainly nobody's going to say that since the Shute Kliyeis are not Mekabel Tuma, therefore they're not a Kli on Shabbos. That's silly. You know, if I have a perfectly usable fork, but it's a wooden salad fork, it's not Mekabel Tuma because it's Shute Kliyeis. It's obviously a Kli for Shabbos. That wasn't what Rav and Abai were arguing about. They were arguing about whether you're Mesalik your dots from it to use it. So this is really not Nogea, that question. But as usual, the Gemara managed to introduce the issue in advance of the Mishnah, which we've pointed out many times, is standard. Asks the Gemara, so over here the Mishnah says that, look, in any case, it's certainly usable on Shabbos because what you're doing is okay on Shabbos. It's a Kli on Shabbos, but as far as Tumah is concerned, it's only going to be Mekabel Tumah if it has a knot on top. Asks the Gemara, why would it be Mekabel Tumah as a knot? It's still Pshute Kliyeis. So Pshute Kliyeis and a Mekabel Tumah, even if they happen to have, they have a knot, what's the difference? Says the Gemara, and my time to me to sak. Being as we've seen many times, the Torah compares kliyeis to sak, and sak is metaltum, and therefore, unless the kliyeis has a container, it's not going to be mekabel tumah, because it's not similar to sak. It is a kli tibah. Why? Because you use it to take samples. B'sha'ashim ha'apech b'zeitim ha'pchob ro'ebo. You poke the zeitim, but while you poke it, you get a little sample of the oil in the top, where there was the pekak. Now you look at it, see whether it's ready yet for squeezing. And therefore, as a sample taker, it's perfectly valid, not only kli ma'aseh, but a mole veretum kli.
Is dropping
the whole tree into the barrel? No. I poke it. It's not a barrel, it's a pile. Yeah.
And so the top is, the first thing that goes into the pile.
Right, that takes a sample. It's in the same type of way as we take samples from other things. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol HaKelim Nitalim Chutz Min HaMasar HaGadol V'Yatei Shamach HaRishah. Now here is the fundamental Mishnah about Mutz Mamach Meschitzar and Kis. And what Rabbi Yossi seems to be saying is that you could move anything at all, well, it's not clear what that means, anything at all, I'm going to see, of course, a lot about that, except for a saw, a large saw, which is something that's used to cut logs and so on, and you don't want to have to sit there resharpening and so on. You won't use that for banging or any other purpose. And a yatecho macharesha, which is the sharp edge that cuts into the ground on your plow. And again, that is delicate. You don't want it to be bent. And so you set it aside to be used only for farm work. On the back, you should know that an uchla de katsri is no different than a yatecho macharesha. An uchla de katsri, the closest we get to an uchla de katsri is, if you remember the old days before spray cans, you would put a little bit of starch in this container that could then you could shake over the shirts, had little holes in it, and as you would shake it,
sprinkles.
A sprinkler, right? We don't use it anymore because it's breaking. I mean,
it's
not like an atomizer. That's the thing.
It's like you
just let it out. It's something like a sifter, except that it's so small it's usable for liquids. So since it's delicate, because of that, it's kiyatecha macharesha, because, I mean, the moment, if one of those holes gets too big, I mean, that's the end of it, and it doesn't, you can't use it to shake, it just leaks. And so that also is included, as we pointed out earlier, there's a wide range of what would be considered mukhtarachos, tzarnakis, the tainus of machman, that's no different than a farm implement. Omer Abaye, I'll give you other examples. A charva de ushkefe, or a sakina dashkafta, or a chatzina de nagre, are all kiyatecha macharesha dami. So a sakina, a chatzina de nagre, I mean, a charva d'ushkefe, that's what you would use for leather cutting. That has to be precise. A sakina d'ashkafta, Rashi learns, means a butchering knife, whereas Tosus learns it means a shchita knife. Of course, a big difference between how much should be machmir on a shchita knife and a butchering knife. And also, the other cases that we have over here is the chatzina d'nagle, which is an adze that's used by a carpenter. So all of these things are close enough to being delicate that they're also considered to be the equivalent of yatecha macharesha. Tana Rabba, berishona hayu omrim, shlosha kelim nitalim b'shabbat. We're going to see that this berishona hayu omrim was the original gezeira of Mukta back at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. And what they said was, there are precisely three things that you're allowed to use on Shabbos. Now, Tosis points out this can't mean literally three things. That obviously, simple things that have a base kibbutz, such as cups and platters and so on. Those things were given. I mean, you're going to eat on Shabbos. We're not talking about real kelim. We're talking about instruments. This is a very important nekuda, because instruments are related to the idea of malacha. See, this introduces a new concept, because according to Rambam, the main subject of mukta is, again, believe it or not, our good old standby, hotzah. You're going to start moving kelim, you'll move them from place to place, you'll end up being motzim rishus rishus, since it's, as we've seen, there's nothing else in Shabbos but motzim rishus rishus. Oh yes, there were another few malachas. But therefore, mukta is an extension of that fundamental din. According to the way Tosfos is learning over here, that we should understand, kol ha-kelim meaning instruments, and this makes a great deal of sense, because the original hakpada in Ezra Nehemiah was not only on hotzah. So the original hakpada was a restoration of the chumrah of Shabbos in every sense. Hotza'ah, but also instrumentation. If I'm going to start using now tools are what you do malacha with. Yes, it's true, tools are also what you do butchering with, or what you do cutting your challah with, and so on, but it's too close. So therefore they said, look, we'll be matir three tools that are very needed for normal living on Shabbos, but that's all. You could use a maktsoa shavdeila, which is the how do they translate it? The word to a maktsoa there in English?
Not a hatchet, it's smaller,
right? No, it's a cutter. The dveila, remember, was pressed dates that were very, very tightly pressed. You couldn't cut a piece of it unless you were able to use this maktsoa.
Which was like a serrated knife?
No, it's not a knife. It's closer to a hatchet device.
What, a cleaver?
The knife. A cleaver, yes. A maktsoa is a cleaver, thanks.
The knife used for cutting
dates. No, okay. And, of course, you're going to need to be able to use your Listerine bottle, because otherwise you're going to have horrible breath. That's Zuama of Listerine, I mean, it's certainly. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's not what it is. So, the Zuama of Listerine was actually, surprisingly, was a cleaver that was used for skimming the top off of a soup or off of a stew, because you get a real disgusting layer on top of fat and so on. So it's a skimmer. And that they allowed you to use, and they allowed you to use a table knife. I mean, you got to be able to use your steak knife to be able to eat. So sakin ktana shagabe ashulchan, those were the three and the only three things you could use on Shabbos. Those were the days, my friend. No, you'll manage
a fork.
Base kibbutz, a spoon, but not a fork. Then he tiru, they were matir more. The chazur he tiru, then they were matir even more. The chazur he tiru, they were matir even more than that. Okay, we're going to go through each one of these steps. Hacha amru, kol hakelim nitonu b'shabes, chutz min ha'masar ha'gadol v'yatecho macharesh. Until they finally got to Rav Yossi in our mission. Now, can we trace the steps? Mar yitiru v'chazru v'yitiru v'chazru v'yitiru, because of course, as we trace the steps, we also end up with what's really meant by kol hakelim nitonu b'shabes. Because, I mean, do we mean letzarach mekomam? Do we mean micham letzel? Do we mean kulishim lach l'yisr, kulishim lach l'ether? There might be a lot of steps that you got to get to, or there might be fewer steps, in which case more remains usher. So let's see how to trace it. Rabbi says it means like this. They first started off, first heter was, they were matir dover shemalachto laheter letzarach gufa. So they said, look, if the kli is generally used for heter, you can use it. And then chazru v'yitiru, they were even matir dover shemalachto laheter letzarach mekomo. Even if you don't need the kli itself, but you want to move it because you need the place where the kli is, they were matir that also. And then they were chazur v'yitiru even more. They were matir even a davar shemalachto l'yisr, as long as it's letzarach gufa, but not if it's letzarach mekomo. And of course, that remained in effect, and still there was one more step, which was adayin biyado achat in b'shtei yadav lo. This would be only something that was easily used and manipulated, not if it was a major thing that you needed to carry with two hands and so on. And then acha amru, which was the last step, acha amru, kol hakelim nitonu b'shabes, afilu b'shtei yadayim. Now that means according to Abaya, we remain with a kli shemalachto l'yisr, the yisr remains in effect, letzarach mekomo, correct? Because they were never matir that. And the only thing they were matir was the Torah Gufa. Now we haven't seen any heter on Mechama Letzel. Okay. Says Rava, now wait a second. I don't like that. Because it seems to me that the differentiation between the Torah Gufa and the Torah Mekomo is an artificial one. Because it's true that there's a difference in terms of the Kli. Yes, I understand what you're saying, that in one case I'm using the kli, and in one case I have no need for the kli. But I don't understand why that's an issue. What we're talking about is what you need, not what the kli needs. So what difference does it make to me in terms of the steps necessary to be matir the use of a kli? Why should I think that there's a greater heter in the use of the kli than there is in the moving of the kli to use the place of the kli? Why is the focus the kli at all? I don't understand. The focus is the use of a person. I need this place now. Move the kli out of the way. I need to use my nutcracker now. So move the nutcracker to crack the nut. Seems to be the same thing. Ela amar Rava. Therefore, says Rava, mali tzarech gufa, mali tzarech mekomo. That's the same level of usage. Therefore, I say, step one was, itiro davar shemalachto laheter. And once they're matir davar shemalachto laheter, it doesn't matter whether it's a tzarech gufa or whether it's a tzarech mekomo. So that's the first step. Then they were chazav yitir even on a kli shemalachto laheter to move it out of the rain on Shabbos. Or to move it out of the sun on Shabbos, it'll be Cham Letzel, which according to Abaye was never mutter, even on Kli Shemalachto Laheter. Then they went ahead, and they were matir, chozav yitiro, even a Kli Shemalachto Laheter, both with Tzorah Gufa and Tzorah Mekomo, because according to me, there is no difference between Tzorah Gufa and Tzorah Mekomo. So that was the stage, the penultimate stage, and then Adayin, but not Micham Letzel, of course, and Adayin ba'adam echad, only something that could be moved by one person, b'shnei b'nei adam lo, ad shamru kol hakelim nitonu b'shabes afilu b'shnei b'nei adam. Now that means that we're left with a major machlokes between Rav and Abayin as to the meaning in our Mishnah. We say kol hakelim nitonu. Meaning what? Kol hakelim nitonu. Yes, even if you need two people to move it, but not cases of Michlam Matzeo on the Kli Shemalachto L'Yisr. But everything else, yes. According to Abaye, oh, no. First of all, you need two people to move it. No. Two hands to move it, yes. Furthermore, If it's Bicham Latzel, even if it's Malach Le'eter, you can't use it. And furthermore, if it's a Kalish Malach Le'eter, Letzorg Mekomo even, you wouldn't be allowed to move it. It's a major machlok, is what we mean Kol HaKelim. I mean, Kol HaKelim, Chutz mi the Masar, I mean, certainly doesn't seem to be the right way to say it, according to Abaye. So, Eisvei Abaye, how about the famous case of Meduka? In Yeshba Shum Metatalim Otan, Vimlav Ein Metatalim Otan, excuse me. How do you explain the fact that you're not allowed to move a mortar unless it has some garlic in it? Can you explain that to me? Why can't I move it? Why, according to you, I can even move it in the Tzarev Mekoma? Who cares if it's a Klisha Bakal Yisr? You, Rava, hold that there's no problem moving the Tzarev Mekoma? Answers, Rava, the case would be, what are we talking about? We're talking about Mechama Letzel. It's the same Metatalim, A kalishim alakal yitzer v'cham alatzel, which according to me, says Rava, would be mutter in kalishim alakal yitzer. Therefore, we want to explain what it means. Now, obviously, Rava, Abaye, answered this in Rava's place before, the same question we asked before, the beginning of the sugya, and he says it was going according to Rav Nathaniel. That's because the mashmot, according to him, was ein mitzvah for any purpose. Okay? Eisvei. Explain to me what is the problem of using a pestle for cutting meat over. What's the problem? Now you're saying everybody's motive, they still's motive. It doesn't mean you can move it. Why can't you move it? No, we'll have to say the cross talking about Bicham Latzel. Otherwise, why couldn't I move it? If I need to displace, I'll move it out of the way. Omre Bichanina. Reb Chanina says, you know, excuse me, gentlemen, you don't understand the history of Muktzah. If you understood the history of Muktzah, there's a way out of all of this. The truth is that the various steps, our Mishnah, that is the result of a long history. When we said that Rishonah Yom Omrim Shlosha Kelim Nitalim B'Shabbos, that was the original Mishnah of Muktzah, and that was said at the time of Bechemia. What happened over there? And so on and so forth. It was a disaster. So therefore, they made this takana not even to use normal keli. Once that's true, Omer Reb Elazar, there are many mishnayot, including some that you've been asking, that are simply mishnayot, that are remnants of those days. You can't ask from a case of the Meducha, for instance. That was said in the interim period, at the time that Muktzah was much more chomer, before the Chazar V'Tiru. So the truth is, the Mishnah about the Kanim on the Lechem HaPanim, and the Maklot on the Shkitat HaPesach and Erev Shabbos, and the Gelustra, which we'll see later on, and the Meducha, which you've been talking about, and you keep bothering everybody with that Mishnah, Kulam Kodem Atarat Kelim Mishnu. All of those things were said before the Heter of the Kelim that's reflected in our Mishnah. Once our Mishnah was said, you can forget about that whole business about the Ali and the Meducha. What am I referring to? The case of the Maklot that I'm referring to is the Mishnah of the Maklot Takin Chalakin Hayusham. I'm sorry, first. The kanim ditznan, lo sidura kanim velo netilatam docheta shabbat. What they would do is they would have these half straws, the straw that was cut lengthwise, that would allow for air to pass between the lechem aponim, because you had six on top, one on top of the other, six high, and you needed to have air circulating. And the best way to have the air circulating was to maintain the weight of the challah above on a half of a straw, which would allow the air to pass between. This is a very strong construction, because you've got basically a circle. The top of the circle is touching the lechem above it, but, I mean, that doesn't preclude the air. It's a very tiny point of contact. And you've got two points of contact on the part underneath, with air flowing in between. So that keeps things nice and fresh. But you couldn't move it on Shabbos, because it wasn't a kli nitel on Shabbos, so they would come in Erev Shabbos, take out the kanim, for one day nothing would happen, and take them all thing off on Shabbos. Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with moving it on Shabbos by our standards of Kalim. Because I now need to take down the lechem, so why can't I move out the kanim? But by their standards, which were the standards of Nehemiah, This wasn't one of the things that was about to remove on Shabbos. So they weren't martyred, even the Beit HaMikdash. They would come in before Shabbos and remove it. But don't let that confuse you, because it's not a contemporary Mishnah. It's a recessive Mishnah, still from the early days. The other case, Maklot, Titzan, Maklot Dakin, V'chalakina Yushan, U'minichot Ketefot on Ketef Chaveiro V'tule U'mavshit. So what they would do is, on Erev Pesach, on a Chol, on a non-Shabbos day, they would have these thin pieces that you could support on your shoulder, a pole basically. You would support one end on your shoulder, one end on your friend's shoulder, hang the lamb in between you, and that way you could work on skinning and the preparation for the Pesach. But what would you do if it came on Shabbos? So it says, Rabbi Elazar, Arbaas, Shakaliot, Shabbos, Minir Yado Ketef Chaveiro, Liat Chaveiro Ketefo, you'd have to dedicate one of your hands for holding up the lamb by putting it on your friend's shoulder, because after all, these poles are muktzah. Now, by our standards, these poles aren't muktzah. What are they? They're just kelim that I want to use for heter. Why can't I support something on them? So the idea, therefore, is that this was also a recessive mishnah now, going back to the days of the Chemra. And they were sometimes that they asked the shrus. This was an emergency. Were like a general shvus, there were times in which they would actually go and not say. Okay, we'll see tomorrow the additional cases. We've already gone over our time here. Some of our esteemed audience in South Africa was rather upset by the fact that we go on so long. Why don't we bring it down? No, they don't care about that. They want the original pace. The original pace was like 25 to 40 minutes. So when I wasn't here and we put up the other topic, they said, now wait a minute. Why isn't it that way all the time?
Academic hour.
Yeah, but you're all, it's amazing how everybody like knows everyone. They've got these images. It's amazing. Yeah. But I got to tell you all, without Richie is definitely everyone's favorite.
Exactly the word. Yeah.